From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. This will be the last podcast prior to the National Association of Postal Supervisors' annual legislative conference in Washington, D.C., which will take place the first week of March. So it falls upon our guest today to fire us up, and I know he can. So I am pleased to welcome Representative Kwasi Fume to Naps Chat. Congressman Fume is the ranking Democrat on the House Oversight and Accountability Subcommittee on Government Operations, the panel with jurisdiction over the Postal Service and the federal workforce. In addition, Representative Fume is a senior member of the full committee, which has wide jurisdiction over government activities and the federal agencies conducting those activities. Mr. Fume first served in Congress from 1987 to 1996, after which he departed to work in the nonprofit community. And the congressman returned to the House of Representatives in 2020 to succeed the late chairman of the House Committee on Oversight and Reform, Representative Elijah Cummings. During both stints in the House, Representative Fume demonstrated a dedication to his beloved city of Baltimore, social justice, and a strong, vibrant, and universal postal service. Welcome to Naps Chat, Representative Fume.
Bob, thank you. Thank you very much. And my thanks to all your many listeners who work so hard day in and day out to deliver a much needed service to Americans.
I need to ask you a somewhat rhetorical question based upon your 24-year pause in congressional service, that is, the pause between 1996 and 2020. Is there any difference between your House tenure version 1.0 and version 2.0?
Well, I mean, yes and no, and I'll explain what I mean in just a moment, but it's important to note also that during that time that I was away, I had voluntarily left the House to become president of the National NAACP, and I held that position for the next 9 years before then going over to do some things with the National Institutes on Health. So the first tenure, as you spoke about earlier, was very interesting for me. I was a young man. I got in there and learned the ropes and did what I could do on the committees that I was on. But you also get a sense of where you are. And then coming back, as I did 4 years ago, after 23 years from being away, you also get a sense of where you are. And some things are the same and some things are dramatically different. So when you talk about or look at rules and procedures and the committee structure and things like that, decorum, things are pretty much the same as they were. Nothing really changed in that 23-year period. However, when you look at, talk to, and have an opportunity to work with members of the House, you realize that there is a stark difference. There's less camaraderie. There's less willingness to reach a consensus. There is more of a desire to have a sometimes scorched earth policy where legislation is just hung out to dry and where issues are left unattended. And there becomes, unfortunately, personal attacks and a number of things that take away from the process. So the reason why, in my opinion, we went from in the 117th Congress a very, very active Congress to the 118th, where nothing is going on, is because primarily the people who are in charge have pretty much given into and represent that second model that I talked about of not wanting to work together, not wanting to seek compromise, and not trying to find a way to be respectful, but rather to attack, attack, attack. And many of those attacks are along cultural line. So it's yes and no. It's some things have changed and some have remained the same.
One thing that has remained unchanged, and this is with regard to yourself, is that you have historically, as I mentioned earlier, demonstrated a deep concern about postal performance, postal governance, and the safety of postal employees. That is, particularly about safety, you're an outspoken supporter of putting postal police back on the street. Moreover, the Postal Service's publicly available performance data indicates that performance, particularly first-class mail, is suffering. Could you talk about your view about the role of Congress in postal operations, if any?
Well, yeah, Congress has an oversight role, even though the Postal Service is pretty much independent. It still comes under the oversight of the United States Congress, and that has been the case all along. So when and if that things improve or did improve or have changed, it's done so under congressional oversight, whether that's change for the better or change for the worse. And I think right now we're really challenged to find ways to make that change for the better continually over and over and over again. And so it's important to those of us who recognize how important the Postal Service is. I mean, I've got situations in my district, like members all over this country, who are very displeased with the way things have been going, both in terms of delivery, in terms of the threat to postal carriers because of these arrow keys, in terms of reorganization and restructure, in terms of a hesitancy in many instances on the part of the Postal Service to follow through on congressional mandates. We were very fortunate to be able to pass, as you know, a significant reform package that took in place and took over a number of areas and change them, we think, for the better. But there's a lot of work to do, Bob. I mean, there is a great deal of oversight still yet to be done.
Very recently, you signed a letter with 80 of your House colleagues asking President Joseph Biden to promptly nominate two new members to the Postal Board of Governors. Could you explain why prompt nominations are so important?
Well, without prompt nominations in this instance, we're left to the will of the people who are serving, who don't represent vacancies but are active members of the board. And their policy, in many respects, has been the policy of Mr. DeJoy, which, as most people know, I've had a problem with for some time. I think he's a decent guy and probably, from his perspective, has, the issues at heart. But I just don't agree with the way that things have been rolling out. I did not agree with the cutback on first-class delivery. I don't believe that there's enough attention given to the unions that represent postal employees. I believe very much that we need to convert over to a electric fleet, even though there's been reluctance to do that. And I think we've got to take stronger issue about finding a way to protect letter carriers from these persons who are increasingly committing crimes against them. So when you've got a board that represents the will of the president, and I'd like to believe that the president believes that what some of the things I've just mentioned are very important, then you're going to get decisions that reflect that. If not, you're going to get decisions from whatever majority, if I can use that term, that remains. And those decisions, in my opinion, have not always been the best ones. So if we're really trying to find a way to put the stamp of this administration on the Postal Service and to put our thumb on the scale to make sure that the imbalance that's taking place returns to a sense of balance, you've got to have those vacancies filled by people who believe that the Postal Service is extremely important and people who are prepared to vote and to do the right thing and to talk with employee unions and talk with others on issues that they may not be that familiar with, but you get a better product at the end.
I know with regard, particularly in Baltimore, how important the Postal Service is to serving your constituents. Could you provide a little bit of insight how letter carriers, postal clerks, postal and postmasters interact with members of your community? Because I know that although there is consternation to some extent about the Postal Service and its operations in a lot of areas, particularly in Congress, the Postal Service still retains a very high approval rating.
Well, I'd like to think that districts around the country are all treated equally. I know in the state of Maryland, the greatest number of complaints have come out of the Baltimore area. But they're not complaints that go to the heart of whether or not people are dedicated employees. They go to the heart of whether or not they're being allowed to do their jobs and to make sure that they're advocating for their jobs. I mean, it's fair to say that the Postal Service has had, in all public opinion polls up until the last few years, a favorability rating in the 90s. People respect the Postal Service. The Postal Service is almost like a family member, so much so that you take it for granted. You take all the great things that they do and all the good service they provide for granted. You trust the Postal Service. Those are the things that most Americans attach themselves to, that level of trust, that level of good feeling. And so when there are seems to be a decline going in the other area, it raises a great deal of consternation and sadness, if I could even use that term, because people just expect that their good, friendly Postal Service is always going to be that. But in order for the Postal Service to be that, it's got to be supported. I mean, from the top down, there's got to be real deference to the fact that this is a much-needed service. It's something that Americans love and trust and want. And the employees that do it day in and day out have to be treated accordingly so that they are even able to perform at a higher level. You just can't take people for granted and employees for granted and not support them and expect for them just all over time and through a pandemic, quite frankly, just to keep doing what they do without any desire to want. They're all postal employees want to do better. They want the service to do better. And we ought to be that way as members of Congress.
Let me ask you this question. Earlier this week, there was a special election up in New York that many assumed would be a bellwether to what's going to happen in November. And there is a reasonable possibility that the Democratic Party could regain the majority in the House of Representatives, which would put you in the position of becoming possibly the chairperson of the subcommittee with jurisdiction of the Postal Service. So our listeners probably would like to know, what would be your postal priorities, or what are your postal priorities, and how, even wherever you are, you would intend to pursue them?
Well, I don't want to get way ahead of elections.
No, we wouldn't want to. We wouldn't want to.
We're talking about one seat in New York, and then we've got 434 other seats that will be determined in November. But certainly I'd like for the Democratic Party, obviously, to be the majority party again. But let me just tell you that I'm committed to protecting public employee sector pay rights, their benefits. When special interests push for privatization and contracting out, I oppose that sort of stuff. I don't know where it's worked, where it's ever worked, and it certainly wouldn't work in the Postal Service. I oppose the federal pay freezes and the benefit cuts for federal employees that we always have to fight from time to time. Federal employees have had to endure government shutdowns, pay freezes, hiring freezes, and lost pay as a result of sequestration-related furloughs. And a lack of competitive pay hurts recruitment. It hurts retention and the quality of the civil service. Again, getting back to, that's why I'm an original sponsor of Representative Jerry Connolly's Federal Adjustment of Income Rates Act, which would provide postal employees and all federal employees with a 7.4 pay increase in calendar year 2025. Those are some of the things that are very important to me, and I've made no bones about it. We've got to find a way to talk about that. Otherwise, advocating for it becomes increasingly different. And so in talking about it, we pick up support, and people understand why it's important to advocate and to be supportive of just those things. And I'm sure there are many, many others that I've not even thought about that come about as a result of ideas from postal employees. I mean, the good legislation that has passed and has continued to find its way before the Congress are ideas that have come from postal employees, from the base up, not from the top down. I mean, I believe that leadership comes from the bottom up, not from the top down. So I'd like to think that I'm working on behalf of postal employees on the things and the issues that care and concern them the most. And I continue to be open to discussions and ideas that I get from people who do the work day in and day out.
Let's come back to a comment that you made a couple of moments ago, and that is congressional oversight responsibility. The Postmaster General has invested an extraordinary amount of time and resources to promoting the Delivering for America plan, which includes reorganization, realignment, and so forth. Implementation is ongoing. How should Congress evaluate it?
I think Congress has to monitor it on a regular, measured, periodic basis against the goals and objectives and against the actual real things that are happening. I mean, there's got to be an oversight process, which is, again, why I'm on the oversight committee, to make sure that it's doing what it's supposed to do. If you don't do that, I think it becomes difficult, just as it is to get toothpaste back into a tube or to unring a bell. It becomes very, very difficult to get progress in the amount of time that it was supposed to take on any kind of measured basis. So Congress has to, in a, I think, respectful way, look at the work that the Postal Service is doing under Mr. DeJoy, lay that out against the timelines and the process that was put forth by the legislation, and then make determinations periodically as to whether or not real progress is being made and whether or not the goals are being achieved. And you just can't do that once. And that's why I'm against an annual sort of overview. Some people would argue that an annual overview is fine. Well, I disagree. I think that in order to protect the workers and to protect the process, we need to be doing that twice a year, every year, until we get to where the legislation has determined we should be.
Is it time for another oversight hearing on the Postal Service? I think the last one was in May 2023. Is it time for another one?
Yeah, it is time, and I think you're going to see one coming up soon. But yes, it is time. And, you know, these hearings are not meant to be adversarial. They're meant to be instructive, and they're meant to communicate a great deal of information. So I would hope that that's the tone and tenor of the decorum of the hearing. I want to hear when we do get to that point from postal employees. I want to get real understanding from the postal management, Mr. Joy's, DeJoy's office, and others. That's the only way you can really make determinations and find problems that exist before they turn into real problems that you didn't know about.
Last question, Mr. Mufume. The Oversight and Accountability Committee benefits from the membership of three senior members of the Maryland and District of Columbia delegation, yourself, Ranking Full Committee Chair Jamie Raskin, and D.C. Delegate Eleanor Holmes Norton. What's the impact of your collective presence on the committee?
Well, we represent a block, a formidable block, that not just represents a geographical area, but represents a philosophy and a belief that is pro-Postal Service and pro-Postal Service employees. That's been the case going back to my predecessor, who was also my successor, the late Elijah Cummings, and going back even before Eleanor Holmes Norton to the days that Fauntroy, Congressman Fauntroy, represented the District of Columbia. It's been a great triad, and we feel good about being in the positions that we are in, and we are advocates. We make no bones about that. We believe that in order to have a good postal service, you got to protect it. And to have the kind of employees that we've had over the many, many years, you've got to support them. So it's not a complicated formula, but it's one that has worked and one that we feel good about.
Well, Congressman, I know that you have a busy schedule today, so I want to thank you for joining us on NAPS Chat. This has been Congressman Kwasi Mufume. Thank you.
Bob, thank you very much. Thanks for your work, too. I do appreciate that.
Thank you, Congressman. And I want to thank NAPS Chat listeners for logging on today. If you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more importantly, share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
And write myself a letter.